Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Barry Malone from Faith Lutheran Church in Pocatello, Idaho. Good morning, Pastor Malone.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to have you with us this morning. Tell us about Faith Lutheran Church in Pocatello, Idaho.
Well, thank you, Andy. Faith Lutheran Church, we're located on the corner of Poline and West Eldridge in Pocatello, Idaho. And we're, real old congregation. We've been here for about 50 years, but we are a rather small church, and we're a friendly church, and it's just kind of located, I call it the historical part of town. It's like right across the street from where the old naval ordnance plant used to be in World War II, and so it's got a lot of little houses around. It looks like you're going back in time, like back to the 1940s or 1950s, because the way the neighborhoods were constructed back then. But we have some great saints that are here, and the love of the Lord. It's just a great honor to be here to serve and worship with them every Sunday.
Well, very good. Glad that you are there, gathering around God's Word, receiving His gifts every Sunday, and serving the community with God's good gifts. We are studying John chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 21. As we dig into the text, we'll open the listener lines here in just a little bit. Anything you want us to know about John chapter 3 before we dig in today?
Well, I just thought maybe from an overview point of view, this is a great passage that the Lord Jesus Himself gives to us, and He's speaking, interestingly enough, to another teacher, another rabbi of the Christian faith. And so it's interesting as we walk through this passage today to see how the rabbi came to the rabbi with a capital R and was asking him, I don't understand this. Can you really explain it to me? And so Jesus lays out for him the perfect plan of salvation that he's been giving to his people ever since the very beginning.
All right, very good. Let's take a look at John chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 21, our daily New Testament reading. We're studying today with Pastor Barry Malone from Faith Lutheran Church in Pocatello, Idaho. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Here we go. Let's take a look at John chapter 3. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, but for no one can do these things, these signs that you do, unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. All right, so there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Anything else that we know about this Nicodemus, Pastor?
Well, he came to Jesus. It's interesting that he came to Jesus by night. You know, he didn't like approach him during the day when all the other Pharisees and all the other people were there, but somehow Nicodemus decided to go under the cover of darkness to really get a hold of the light. And so it's kind of interesting to see that Nicodemus was going, and he went to Jesus, and he says, Rabbi, and he starts off, we know that you are a teacher come from God. So right there we know that Nicodemus knew and had understanding that Jesus was teaching, and it was teachings that maybe he's seen or he's taught himself, and that he was from God, because no one could do the things that Jesus was doing unless God was with him. And so he knew, and so he came to Jesus with that prelude right there. It's kind of interesting because he didn't come to accuse him, to tell him that what he was teaching was not truth or that he was doing something wrong, but he said that, that God was with him. And so Jesus answered. He says, not only once, but twice. He says, truly, truly, I say to you. And when you hear the truly, truly, you need to listen, because that's a very important thing, because Christ is trying to catch our attention. He says, not only truly, but very truly, I say to you, you must be born again. And so he starts off talking with Nicodemus, well, the reason that you don't understand this is because you need to be born again. And so he starts the whole conversation in motion, if you will. And so Nicodemus said, well, okay, how do you be born again? I mean, and Nicodemus is thinking the physical way. Well, does that mean I have to go back home to my mom, to my dad, and crawl inside the womb and come out again? You know, Jesus says, no, I say unless you were born of water and the Spirit. See, Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus clearly what that means. But sometimes I think even in our own lives, we take the simple word of God and somehow God has to use a 2x4 upside the head, because it's like, well, that's what I said, but you're not really listening. Let me try it again. And so Jesus said, by water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that is a relationship. We have to have a relationship with Christ that's brought back by the water and by the Spirit, because otherwise we just have the head knowledge, but we don't have that relationship. We're not washed. Our sins aren't forgiven. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So we don't have that seal on us. And so we're still trying to figure that out. And poor Nicodemus was still struggling.
Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, as you pointed out, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Interesting, every time when he answers him, truly, truly, he begins with, amen, amen.
So be it.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. And so then Jesus continues, and so he explains once again, that it's only the flesh. Nicodemus, you understand the flesh. I mean, that's just the normal way that things happen. I mean, you look around, and believe it or not, we still have babies that are being born with flesh. I haven't seen any lately that haven't had any flesh. But Jesus said, don't marvel when I say you must be born again. And he says, the wind blows. And brother, I don't know about you, but this morning in Pocatello, the wind is blowing. It's 54 outside, but that wind is blowing. I thought I had a big dog at the door this morning, so I'd go open the door to see if I had a stray, and it was just the wind. And so that power that comes from the wind, and sometimes we don't know where it goes. I mean, it comes and it blows back and forth, and we can't catch it. We can't hold on to it. But that's just the power of God, because God can't be put in a box. He can't just say, well, it's got to be exactly this way, because that turns into legalism or into some sort of empty ritual and not a relationship.
That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. To be born of the Spirit is the message here.
Absolutely. And see, that's why we need more than anything. I mean, we can do things to the physical appearance. I mean, we can lift weights, we can work out, we can change our body. I mean, there's all kinds of plastic surgery things. I can get a bigger nose, a smaller nose. And I can educate my brain, my mind. I mean, I can learn languages, I can learn things. But what do I do? How do I educate my spirit? See, that's the thing that hurts the most, and that's the thing that was affected even way back in the garden when a mother and father sinned, Adam and Eve, then. I mean, it was a whole body experience. I mean, it was the mind, it was the body, it was the soul, it was the spiritual deal. And so ever since the fall, we've been struggling spiritually, but yet isn't it interesting also that the Lord gave that great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And so we think that being in right relationship with God is because maybe we're learning the right way of talking, or we're learning how to look like Christians, whatever that looks like, or we say the right things. But see, we miss the idea that it has to be the spiritual connection. We have to be filled with His Holy Spirit. We have to have that connection between us and God that's made possible through the waters of baptism when Christ pours His Spirit into us. Then we're spiritually born again. Otherwise, we're not really born again. We're born physically. I mean, I can get some new ideas, but I'm not born again.
Right. And let's go on to let's take a look at verse 9 and follow. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life."
Wow, this is so wonderful. This is such a great passage. See how the patience of our Lord with Nicodemus, because Nicodemus had an honest question. He goes, "But how can these things be?" I mean, Jesus is talking, and he has that authority that he understands and he knows. But Nicodemus has been trained as a teacher. Nicodemus knows the scriptures. Nicodemus has been around the temple more than a day or two. And yet he doesn't understand it. So Jesus has to keep on with Nicodemus. He goes, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and you don't understand these things?" I mean, this is like grade school stuff, Nicodemus. I mean, you've got like a master's or a doctorate degree, but let me tell you, this is the easy stuff. "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know." See, Nicodemus was speaking of the things that he knew, the experiences that he had, the traditions, the knowledge. But see, he was having problems because he didn't understand completely the testimony that Jesus was giving about, "You must be born again. You must have that spiritual connection, Nicodemus. It must be deeper than what you're learning or what you're talking about. It has to be that other part." And so it's not an earthly thing, because if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? See, heavenly things are beyond us, you know, and the only way that we can understand heavenly things is by Christ coming to us. And not that we can ever ascend to the heights, but he has to come to us by his power, by his spirit. And that, I mean, that even goes into the Christmas. I mean, why was Christ born a babe? Well, God came to us because we couldn't get to him. See, that shows you the spiritual connection and the relationship that our creator God wants to have with us. And he continues on. "No one can ascend to heaven except he who descends from heaven." So Jesus was saying, it's only me, Nicodemus. I came down from heaven, and I'm the only one that can go back up. Just like Moses lifted up the serpent. See, the Son of Man, me, the guy you're looking at, I must almost be lifted up. See, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And so Jesus puts it right back on the cross. You lift me up, just like Moses lifted up the serpent, because you studied that, right, in Shabbat school, in the Torah. You know what that is. So if you lift me up the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent, then that's it, Moses. That's the relationship. That's what I'm trying to teach you here.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Barry Malone from Faith Lutheran Church in Pocatello, Idaho. We're in John chapter 3 today. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying John chapter 3. Stick around for more His Time right after this.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO. Now discover how easy it is to listen to KFUO where you are. Discover our online stream and on-demand programs that allow you to listen where, when, and how you want. Discover how easy it is to listen on your radio, smartphone, Wi-Fi radio, and other listening devices. You've discovered the Christ-centered message that KFUO proclaims daily in both word and song. We are KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The LCMS shares the good news of Jesus' incarnation, death, and resurrection with those in our own backyards, in urban, rural, and small-town areas, and with Hispanic, Black, and other ethnic communities. This month, we are focusing on our national mission work. Join us in supporting this work. Find resources at lcms.org/themes/February.
Thank you.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Monday, February 9th, 8:22 Central Time. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Barry Malone from Faith Lutheran Church in Pocatello, Idaho. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email. You can give us a call at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo at kfuo.org, as we're digging into John chapter 3 today. Pastor, anything else up through verse 15 today that you wanted to revisit? Anything else to cover before we go on to the next section?
I think we've covered it pretty well. I think it's interesting that we're still in the middle of Jesus speaking, remember, because Nicodemus asked, well, how can these things be? And so the section we covered was Jesus explaining in the previous verses, like 9 through 15. But now Jesus continues on, 16 through the 21st. It's interesting how Jesus continues to sharpen that picture, if you will, for Nicodemus to get him to really understand, how can it be, Lord? I mean, I came to you at night. I don't really see well at night, and you are the light of the world. And so it's interesting that here we are in Epiphany. Epiphany means to have that great revelation or revealing. And here we have Jesus, the light of the world, revealing his light and his love for Nicodemus as Nicodemus came to him at night.
All right. Here we go. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Well, this is a pretty familiar text. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Pastor?
Amen, brother. I mean, I still get excited. I think this must be like the very first passage that maybe many Christians, as their little children, memorize. I think this is one of the oldest verses that I remember as well. And it wasn't until years later, as I've been thinking and studying this again, I'm thinking sometimes in our attempt to make God seem so loving and kind that we actually do him a disfavor, because I think John 3:16 cannot stand by itself, but John 3:16 must go with 17, because for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. And so we look, so God loves the world. See, love needs an object. God loves you. Well, that's true. But then 17, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world. And at first we're thinking, well, wait a second. If he loved the world, then he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. So what does that mean? That the world may be saved through him, because whoever believes in him is not condemned. And here's the kicker. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. In other words, brother, I believe that we fail to see that little catchphrase. We're all condemned. We're all on a course that leads us away from the presence of God into a place of death, a separation from God. And so God loves us, and he calls us back to him. And so people think that they're doing God some sort of great favor by trusting in him, when why are they trusting in to begin with? I mean, if we're not resting on God, we're resting on ourselves. And so we're not really getting any traction right there, because it's like we're all in the same boat, so to speak. Hmm. So that's a great blessing that God came, that he sent his Son, that he loves us so much that he says, I'm not going to let you be condemned forever, because I love you so much. I'm coming to you because you can't come to me.
For verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
Amen. You know, that's, and Jesus was also teaching in other parables. You know, Jesus goes back to those great I am statements. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, Jesus or God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but whoever believes in him. Jesus said, I am the only way. I mean, there is no other way to have a right relationship, to have that spirit that comes from my Father to me, to you, but by relationship, by word and by sacrament, by the washing and the forgiving of your sins. And so we think that maybe it's dependent upon us. Well, maybe I need to learn more. Well, maybe I need to be smarter. Maybe I need to try harder because, you know, my life is such a mess. And so I get so frustrated, you know, trying to work, and I get up another day just to get beat up and go to work. But it's not saying that. He says this is all about God. God did not send his son in the world to condemn, but he sent his son Jesus to save us. And he gave his son for us. And so it's all about that free gift of grace that comes from God out of his love for us.
Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God.
And see, and it goes back. See, we're not even, and this also teaches us, we cannot even have, we don't even have the ability to believe except for by God giving us a faith. So see, faith is a true gift. It's like Dr. Luther said, you know, we all have a bag and it's empty. Well, God gives us a bag and he puts faith in it. See, this is the way it is. Our life is empty. And God says, I love you so much that not only will I give you this thing, this bag called faith to hold on to that which I can give you, then I will give you the gifts and I will fill it into that bag so you can walk away full to the utmost, so you can have a great life. You can have an eternal life if you just have a relationship with me and quit wrestling and struggling so much because you're just going the wrong way.
And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil.
Amen. See, and I wonder, is that why Jesus take another poke at Nicodemus? Because Nicodemus, you know, you did come to me at night. You know, here we are having this conversation because you could have come to me any time because I walk around from town to town and you see me. But why did you come to me at night? Because you're a teacher. You know, I'm a teacher, and so you come to me at night, and you're saying, Lord, are you really teaching what is true? Is this really working? And so Jesus was saying, well, this is the judgment. Isn't that interesting that Nicodemus, a teacher, one of the teachers of Israel, was looking at the great teacher of Israel, and he was being judged right there and say, Nicodemus, I've already come. I'm here. And see, the light has come into the world, but people love the darkness more than they love the light. And so Jesus is trying to tell him, you know, the contrast between good and evil, light and dark. You came to me in the dark to find the goodness. And I am the good shepherd, and I will give you goodness. But isn't it interesting that people just keep, they don't follow Jesus. Typically, people don't want to follow Christ in the dark. They want to see, you know, when something's scary, they want to see what it looks like. So immediately, like a while ago when the wind was blowing, I thought there was a big dog outside my door. So I turned on the outside light and I looked around. Well, that's the way it is. We want to see the light. We want to see that evil, that thing that's in the darkness. And sometimes we forget that Christ is that light. And he is that light that came into the darkness. And the darkness can't hold on to it. And Christ is so big and so powerful and yet so personal. He can be so close to us, like right up close, as close as our next breath. And sometimes we don't even see him. We miss him. He's standing right before us, giving us the words of eternal life.
For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed.
Oh, see, brother, nobody wants to show people how good or how bad or, you know, your works are. I know that when I was a kid, we'd always have show and tell. You know, you'd show up and everybody bring all these great things. Well, look what I got. You know, I got this this tail off this squirrel because my dad and I went hunting, you know, like last week. And somebody showed up with a pet rock. And, you know, and you think, well, how can I outdo that? I mean, I want to bring you something that's, you know, it's kind of a crummy thing. But see, that's the same thing. We're like little kids with our teachers. We want to show, look, how well I did. You know, this was really good. It's like I remember one time, the first time in college, I was taking this class was called world civilizations, I think, like Eastern, like Western world civics. And so I studied really hard. I took my tests, and then I was so glad. And the teacher gave us back our exams, you know, the next day or so. And so I was smiling in class, and he looked at me and goes, "Well, Barry, why are you so happy?" I says, "I can't believe I did so well. I got 95 on this test." He goes, "Well, you did. You absolutely did. You better go back and read that again, because that was 95 out of 400 points." I say, "Oh, no." And so I got my paper and I started looking, and sure enough, I had red marks all over it. And I'm thinking, "You got any extra credit?" Because I realized that it was no longer 95 out of 100, but 95 out of 400. I didn't even come close. See, that's the way our good works are. We work so hard trying to impress other people with stuff that we do not have, or a life that we're not living, and even our Creator, by who we're not, because God knows who we are. He made us. And so who are we to lie? You know, like I had an old pastor of mine when I was a kid. He goes, "Barry, go ahead, shame the devil and tell the truth." Because, you know, God knows what is true already. So when we come to Him, we have to come to God on His terms. That way we can clearly see what He sees, because He already sees that we're a mess. But He goes, "I love you anyway, and so I'm going to expose all that, those wicked works and those things that aren't right. But whoever comes to me, whoever does what is true, if you come to the light, that is, if we repent, if we turn away from those things and we just look straight at Jesus like Nicodemus was doing, he says, and it will be clearly seen the works that have been carried out in God." In other words, when we look at Christ clearly and God gives us that understanding, and we look at Him and we say, "Aha, we got the aha factor." And it's not because we're trying to hide anything or make excuses. We're vulnerable. We come to Him and say, "Lord, I realize that You are. I can't hide anything from You. So here I am. Warts, scars, I'm beat up, but here I am. However You want to, you know, receive me, I just love You and realize that I can't hide anymore. And so I give my whole self to You, and look at all the blessings that God gives us in spite of ourselves."
"But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God."
We have to walk in the light that God has given us. I mean, sometimes we think, "Well, I need more light. I need to study more. I need to be smarter. I need to be, you know, faster. I need to have whatever." And God says, "No, look, I give you the light. What is the light? The light is the light of the world that came. I give you the Spirit of life, the Spirit of light." In this season of Epiphany, we just had Epiphany 5. And like I said before, Epiphany is that great word which means a sudden revealing of light to make known. It's like the old cartoons, you know, we get the light bulb across on top of the head. Say, "Oh, now I get it." See, God has been working in our lives ever since the beginning of all of eternity. And God is saying, "I love you, and this has happened. This thing, you know, the sin, when you slipped out of alignment, when you broke that relationship with me in the garden between your mother and your father, your Adam and Eve and me, well, I've been working on that, and I've got it all fixed." And it's the light that comes into the world, because that light is silent. Isn't it interesting that light is silent, but yet it is powerful? It moves at the speed of light, but yet it's invisible. And so we don't see the light until it lands on something. If you're looking sideways to a beam of light, you don't see it unless there's dust or something there to reflect it. And that's the way it is. God's Spirit is silent as light, but powerful. And light is either on or it's off. There's no shadow of turning within God's light of love. He is light, and so there is nothing in Him from all of eternity that's even a shadow of doubt, not a shadow or a speck of impure thing. God says, "I'm pure love and pure light," and this is a way to walk in. And walk in this way. This is a way that leads to life eternal. But we like darkness because light hurts our eyes, and so we want to shield our eyes and turn away from the light, and God keeps calling us back.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text, being born again and God's the love of the world and light, all those themes that come up in this text, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text today?
brother, there's so much more here. I know we could spend a lot more time here, but I think that just looking at an overall picture, how we see that light is one of those concepts that is very important to us because we need light. There's even a problem called SAD, believe it or not. It's a seasonal affective disorder. It's when people don't have enough sunlight, and so you start to get your days and nights mixed up, and so we get cranky and cross and sleepy. And a lack of light is also like the sin within us, because the more that we look at Christ, we see those pieces of sin within us, but then the light that comes into the world, that love of Christ, comforts us. At the same time, he reveals to us those things that come between us. And so as we walk in that light, we grow closer to relationship with God, and we grow closer to one another. And thereby, I think it's really how we truly keep that commandment where God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Because when we walk into the light, we've got that relationship with God. We've got that relationship with one another. And so by his grace, we can continue on, taking one step after another that lasts for all of eternity.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Barry Malone from Faith Lutheran Church in Pocatello, Idaho. Thanks so much, Pastor Malone, for being our guest pastor, helping us study John chapter 3 today.
Thank you, Andy, for having me here.
It was a privilege to get to study with you. God bless you and all the saints there at Faith Lutheran Church in Pocatello, Idaho. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got some sacred music to help sanctify your morning. Stick around, listeners, for more His Time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.